Welcome to Belfast City Vineyard, where we are pursuing formation in the presence of Jesus, community gathered around him, and the impact he empowers us to bring in our families, city, and the world. The following message was given at one of our Sunday services. For more information, visit our website at belfastcityvineyard.com.
This is my first time preaching in this lovely church. For those of you that are joining us online, and those of you that are here, welcome. Today marks the finale, the season finale of our series, Present. We've been looking at spiritual practices to remain anchored in the love of God, in our everyday, in our homes. More than ever, we need an anchor because, boy, is it ever stormy out there. What a week, right? What a week. More than ever, the anxiety presses in on us, and it can be overwhelming. But we can, and we're learning how to push back, how to resist that anxiety and the fear by learning to be with Jesus, by receiving his peace, his rest, being loved by him. So over the past 6 weeks, we have explored six spiritual practices. We'll just do a quick synopsis here for us all. Worship was first, then we looked at the daily examine, then we looked at prayer, the Bible, Sabbath, and neighboring. I did suggest a seventh practice, just so you know, but liturgical dance was swiftly rejected. But I thought since we weren't able to sing together, that might be a nice alternative, but no, apparently I was the only one that thought that. But anyway, that's what we have been up to over the past 6 weeks. If you have missed any of those, all of that is online, and the resources to go along with these practices are also on our website, so you can easily catch up on all of that. There are obviously many spiritual practices, that is only six. There are many more that have been tried and tested by followers of Jesus over hundreds and hundreds of years. If you recall, we talked about practices that involve adding something into our daily life, into our routine. And then we talked about some practices actually are about withdrawing something from our routine, like, say, fasting, for example. The six practices that we chose for this series were selected prayerfully for this moment that we're living in, because the truth is that we are already fasting in this season. We are fasting from so many things, such as even singing together or socializing together, the community that we enjoy. And so for that reason, we decided to focus on the practices that are adding something into our daily life, our weekly routine, our monthly routine. We talked about how Sabbath actually straddles both of those things. When we practice Sabbath, we pause from work, but we add in rest. And then we intentionally landed on neighboring. One of the early church fathers said, "We don't preach great things, we live them." So what is formed in the hidden place in those practices shapes how we live our everyday life. And as a community, we want to live in such a way that the overflow of our spiritual practices is evident to those around us, including our neighbors. It is by remaining in Jesus, staying close to him, that we will continue to bear fruit, as Jesus tells us in John 15. Even in a pandemic, maybe especially in a pandemic. So over these few weeks, we've looked at several ways of doing that, but let's face it, taking on six practices in 6 weeks is awfully ambitious. So here's what I would do. I would focus on one, and in fact, that is what I have done. I have leaned into the practice of Sabbath as in a new way in this season. So what if you picked even one and made it a habit in your life? Here is very challenging quote on habits. Habits are how we stand up and get our hands on time. And because time is the currency of purpose, habits are how we get our hands on purpose. If you want to get your hands on who you are becoming, you need to get your hands on habits. It's high time that this ancient spiritual wisdom become modern common sense. All who want to be attentive to who they are becoming must realize that formation begins with a framework of habits. Formation begins with a framework of habits. That's Justin Whitmill Early from a book called The Common Rule. We all have habits and routines, don't we? The things that we do in any given day, the things that are repeated over and over again. Some of those things are good and helpful, and some of them aren't. Do you look at your phone first thing in the morning? Do we pray at mealtimes? Do we watch Netflix every night or just at the weekends? Do we eat together as families? What are your habits? What does your routine look like? Our dream as a pastoral team is that you would make spiritual practices your habit, that you would get your hands on time, as Mr. Early said it. What would that look like for you? This whole series, God's Presence in Every Home, began as we, as a staff team, grappled and wrestled with this moment that we find ourselves in. We had to close down our in-person meetings back in the springtime, as you all remember, and worship and our gatherings moved from Fleming Fulton to online and our living rooms. It was quite an adjustment, wasn't it? But we began to hear stories of families worshiping together in their homes for the very first time. And we began to hear stories about kids hearing their parents pray out loud for the very first time. And so while we have grieved the loss of meeting together as a church family in Fleming Fulton School with all the craziness and the coffee time and the kids ministry and all the things that we used to do, we began to see that the Holy Spirit is doing something in this moment, in this season. And so rather than fight against that and hold on to things that we feel comfortable with, we have been trying to partner with what Jesus is doing. And so we looked for ways to bless and give a big yes to welcoming God's presence into our homes. And that's how we ended up doing this series. But it actually began with a desire of wanting to visit every home, wanting to bless our homes. And we thought about something tangible that we could leave behind as a reminder, as a symbol of what God is doing in this season. And so we came up with a plan to create wooden crosses and deliver them to people's doors and pray a blessing over the home. Many of you have signed up and participated, and you've welcomed us to your homes, to your doorsteps and back gardens, as it has turned out to be. And over these past few weeks, our pastoral teams have been busily driving the length and breadth of Northern Ireland and getting to visit your homes and pray with you. And so I just wanted to take a moment and acknowledge and celebrate and thank the people who have been involved in this part of this little project. So first, I wanted to thank our BCV Carpentry team. Now, there's a first. I never thought we'd be having one of those. And I would love to, just in case you haven't seen these yet, many of you have these in your houses already, but this is a lovely example of these crosses. Aren't they wonderful? And they made an awful lot of them. And I just wanted to honor those people. Those people are David Kernahan, Jack Mateer, Colin Moran, and Gunter Storbeck. Thank you so much for your amazing craftsmanship. We can clap, so why don't we actually do that? Thank you so much. And secondly, I wanted to thank our pastoral team who have been so excited to visit homes, but I did want to say thank you to you as well for the time that you've invested in the way that you love and care for people in this community. Thirdly, I want to thank those of you who have graciously opened up your front door and allowed us to stand with you on your doorstep, or maybe enter into your back garden. And I am so grateful that you have been willing to do that. The truth is that these visits have been the most life-giving thing that we as a team have done since March, honestly. It has blessed us so much to see your faces. We've loved it. Seeing you with masks is wonderful. Seeing you without masks is so, so good for the soul. It's meant so much to me personally to see some of your children. My goodness, have they sprouted up. And some of them have put on incredible performances for us. One of our visits, Andy and I were serenaded by a young lady with a microphone at the front door. We've had bicycle, you know, stunts and all sorts of things. It has been spectacular, so, so good. Some of you are also very impressive in the efforts you've gone to create outdoor spaces that are suitable and appropriate for guidelines. One of you has even installed an outdoor television, which was especially impressive. So anyway, it's been a lot of fun. It's been very life-giving to us and hopefully to you as well. But it's the stories of what God is doing in your lives that has especially blown us away. I've been so amazed at the depth of conversation that we've been able to have on a doorstep. Some of you are fostering children. Others of you are single parents. Some of you are living on your own. Some of you are closer to Jesus than ever before. And some of us are really struggling. But one thing is for sure. You are a beautiful and a brave community. You are creative and resilient. And we have loved these visits. And honestly, we feel we've received far more than we have given. And so we feel more unified and connected, and we hope that you do too. And I want to issue one last-ditch invitation to those of you who haven't participated, who felt that you couldn't. Maybe you thought you were too new to the community. Maybe you live a bit of a drive away. Maybe you've just missed what was happening or didn't understand who it was for. But these pastoral visits and these gifts, these crosses, are for anyone who considers BCV to be home. And even for some of you who are exploring whether this is home, we would love to visit with you. We would love to connect with you. We still have some crosses left, and it's not too late. This is what you need to do. You need to email info@belfastcityvineyard.com and let us know that you would like to join in the fun. And if you have any stories that you want to share with us about how this has impacted you, please email present@belfastcityvineyard.com. We would love to hear from you. So that's a little bit about this project as a whole, where it has come from, and we just wanted to say thank you for extending that doorstep hospitality, and for those of you that have also created resources for this, and it's been a really fun project. The key thing in all of this, however, as fun as the outdoor TV and the, you know, the performances by our children was, but the key thing in all of this is, of course, that we want to make room for Jesus. And so just as we land this series, as you can see, I'm having trouble finding the slide for this. Well, how would I just invite you to close your eyes and to, I will read this out over you, Revelation 3:20. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. Revelation 3:20. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. Jesus is at our door and he's knocking. And we just take a moment to visualize Jesus at our door. He's not going to break the door in. He waits to be invited in. And I can see just that some of you in this room are already really engaging with that picture of Jesus, and that's really, really wonderful. And the question for us is, will we open the door? Will we open the door to Jesus? "Here I am," he says. "I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me." It's been so good to visit your doors and your doorsteps. It's even better that Jesus is at our doorstep, that Jesus is at the door. Many times this verse is placed in the context of inviting people to follow Jesus for the first time. And absolutely that invitation is open to anyone that is here tonight or watching this online. If you have never decided to make room for Jesus, today would be a really good day to give Jesus your yes for the very first time. But the context of this passage in Revelation is that Jesus is speaking to the church, to those who already know him. He's talking to his bride. Will you, his bride, open the door to Jesus? These spiritual practices that we are inviting you to try and have been talking about for the last few weeks are ways of developing that ability to hear him knock, to recognize his voice. Teresa of Avila talks about the soul as an interior castle with many rooms. Intimacy with God is about allowing God to occupy that castle, our souls, our lives, room by room. Are you allowing Jesus in room by room? For me, lockdown provided just the right conditions for one of those rooms in my heart that had been locked off to the Holy Spirit, where I hadn't welcomed him in. There was an opportunity there that finally opened. The conditions of lockdown were just right in that I didn't have as many distractions in my life. I usually travel quite a lot with my job for the Vineyard Movement, and I've been at home since March. I've barely gone anywhere. And so it was a great opportunity for me to be locked in and to wrestle and to begin to hear Jesus knocking on one of the rooms in my heart that I was keeping him at bay. I could hear him in a way that I hadn't been able to before. And I'm so grateful for those conditions, as difficult as they were. I'm so grateful for the opportunities, even in the midst of the challenges of this season, to hear the Holy Spirit speaking to me and to allow Jesus to minister to me and to find freedom and, as a result, a greater level of intimacy and friendship with Jesus. Do you hear Jesus knocking? Do you hear his voice? What will you do about it? The spiritual practices that we've been teaching on are ways of making room, ways of responding to Jesus knocking on the door. They're not an end in themselves. They point to and they lead us to Jesus. I remember when I first visited a Vineyard small group and I encountered Vineyard worship for the very first time, I was absolutely blown away by the worship and by the songs. But it wasn't the songs that changed my life and the trajectory of my life, it was Jesus. And yet, the power and the simplicity of the songs was a key part of that journey. They helped me get to Jesus. And I think it's the same way with the spiritual practices that we've been talking about. They help us get to Jesus. And here's the thing, some of us here tonight and some of you watching online have been following Jesus for many, many years. And I urge you to take a risk and go somewhere new. Open one of the rooms that you haven't opened yet. Try a practice that you haven't tried before. We don't ever stop growing. We are always on a journey as disciples of Jesus. One of the stories that I have resonated with most in the recent weeks is the Emmaus Road story. And I think the reason for it is that I have never done so much walking and talking as I've done in the last few months. It's one of the only safe and legal ways at the minute to connect with friends and meet with people. I've even bought a warmer winter coat in order to be able to keep doing it. But in this story, the disciples are walking and talking, and their world has just been turned upside down. Jesus was crucified. The tomb is empty, but they can't figure out what is actually happening. They don't know what's happened to his body. They don't know if the reports that the women brought back from the tomb are right. And I think that I can relate so much to this story because, I'm trying to make sense of what's happening at the moment. I'm trying to figure out what is going on in this upside-down world that we're living in, just like those disciples. And so as they are walking and talking, suddenly Jesus appears to them. And they don't know that it's him, but he joins them. And he begins to help them understand what is going on even before they realize that it's him. And Luke 24, verse 29 tells us that when they approached the village, it says, they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. Then their eyes were opened. First, they invited him in, and then their eyes were opened. Jesus wants to walk and talk and meet with you. He wants you to invite him in, to make room for him. Will you invite him in? Our prayer as a team is that we would invite Jesus in as a community. As we are walking and talking, as we are doing our washing up or making a cup of tea in our everyday life, that we would be surprised, just as the disciples were surprised when Jesus shows up. Our prayer is also that we will intentionally make room, that we would make our time holy, as we talked about when we talked about Sabbath, that we would make space in our schedules for practices, rhythms, and habits that will help us on that journey toward knowing Jesus. Let's listen for his voice. Let's hear him knocking at our door. I know this series is coming to an end, but in many ways, it's really just beginning. And so what I would love to do tonight, and for those of you online, we'll all be doing this together in different time zones, but we are going to just make some room right now. So if you're sitting at home, just close your eyes and participate as you can in your living room or wherever you are. And if you're here tonight, I'm just going to ask you to stay seated. I might invite you to stand in a moment, but for now, let's just sit and let's make room for him. Let's make room for him in this time that we have. Let's make this time holy. Jesus, we welcome you. We make room for you. You come, Holy Spirit, and give us a fresh revelation of Jesus knocking at our door. Would you come, Holy Spirit, and increase our ability to hear that knocking, to sense that knocking. And to hear and to sense your voice and your presence with us. And Jesus, we invite you right now into this space. We make room for you. We welcome you. Some of you are comfortable with silence and you're okay with nothing really being said. And for those of you that this is a bit more uncomfortable, just bear with us because we're just going to wait in silence a bit longer. Come, Jesus. Disciples who walked and talked with Jesus and then invited him in and ate with him and enjoyed his company and then realized it was him and then he was gone. after the fact, they said, "Were not our hearts burning within us?" And in hindsight, they knew that it had been Jesus, and they should have known it was him because their hearts were burning. Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? Holy Spirit, we invite you to come. We want to experience that burning. In our hearts, we too are disciples and followers, and we long to know that burning in our hearts, that fire, that connection with you. So would you come, Holy Spirit, and burn within us and reveal Jesus to us. Would invite us to continue to meditate on Revelation 3:20 and Jesus standing at the door and knocking. And when you're in your home and you're looking at your lovely crosses, may it serve as a reminder that Jesus is knocking on your door, and that in fact Jesus is given everything. He's given his life so that we could have that sort of friendship with him. And let's continue to look for ways to open up more rooms and more space in our lives to Jesus. And so as we come to close tonight, I just have a real sense in terms of ministry tonight. Now, if you're at home, please sign up to prayer ministry on our website. If you are in this room tonight, or if you're even watching at home and you want to participate in this next bit. But I have such a sense that, you know, many of us, we've lost our place of serving in the community in this season. Maybe we were on a hospitality team, maybe we were in a kids ministry team, maybe we were in a worship band, maybe we were setting up whatever our role was. All of those things are on pause right now. So what is our role? And I just have such a sense that for each of us, there is a prayer assignment. We might not be able to brew massive amounts of coffee right now, but guess what? We have an even more potent assignment in this season, every single one of us, and it is a prayer assignment. And I just had a sense that the Holy Spirit wanted to give out specific prayer assignments to each one of us. And so if you would like a prayer assignment from Jesus, I would invite you to stand. And would you take a stand? And you don't have to, but I would just invite you now, as we wait on the Lord, I'm going to pray. And if you want a prayer assignment from the Holy Spirit, maybe you already have one. I think he's got another one for you tonight, or a reminder of what he has called you to pray for. So just as we close, I'm gonna pray for us one last time here. So would you come, Holy Spirit? We thank you for the incredible things that you are doing in our community, even with all of the limitations. I thank you for this faithful community of followers of Jesus. And I pray again a blessing upon each person and every home. And in this season, would you give each one of us, Holy Spirit, a prayer assignment? The things that we can specifically pray for in this season, specific things that you have called us to. And if you feel like there's this prayer assignment for you, or if you want one and you don't have one, why don't you stand up now? Come, Holy Spirit. And for some of you, it's nations of the world that the Holy Spirit is going to give you to pray for. For some of you, it will be neighbors, you know, it might be people that you know, but for some of you, it's going to be some unexpected things. Jesus is full of surprises. He will show up in unexpected ways. Would you come, Jesus, and give us our prayer assignment? Come, Holy Spirit. And if you're watching at home, there's a prayer assignment for you as well. And we give you room, we give you space, Holy Spirit, to give us a prayer assignment that is yours, that is on your heart. And we make room for it now in our hearts. And we just say in our hearts that we receive that tonight. We receive your prayer assignment, Holy Spirit. We receive it. We receive it joyfully. We receive it expectantly. And we know that prayer changes things. And we know that prayer changes us. And so I bless you in the name of Jesus to pray with authority and boldness, to pray faithfully, to pray even if you don't understand what you're praying for, to be praying in the power of the Holy Spirit, and to have eyes of faith to see. And I bless you to make room for this prayer assignment in your life and in your daily and weekly and monthly routines. And so for everyone here tonight, whether you've stood up or you're still in your seat, I just bless you to make room for Jesus. I bless you to hear him knocking at your door. I bless you to discern his voice and to receive his well done tonight for your faithfulness to this point, and to receive from him the strength to keep going, to not give up, to not stop, to be awake and alert to the things of the Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. For all the latest information about what's happening in the life of our church, or if you have any questions or comments, head over to BelfastCityVineyard.com.